This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly. 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer. And for that matter, what is the difference between recorded and pre-recorded?
We are back on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. The ticket online at WTKA.com. It's Thursday, a little bit after 9 o'clock, which means it is time for the MGO Blog Roundtable. We've got Seth Fisher. We've got Craig Ross. We've got Brian Cook. Sam will be joining us in just a moment. Guys, welcome back to the Roundtable. How are you? How's everybody doing?
Good.
I don't know. Brian seemed cranky me. I don't think he's going to talk. That's what
I'm talking. I'm talking okay. Right now. I'm talking right to your face.
Okay.
And Seth is in a mute mode. He'll get to us in just a moment. So obviously a lot of basketball, maybe a little football. We'll get a little hockey in there as well. And, of course, we will also get to the big event that's coming up on Saturday night at 8:30, the benefit for the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. Looking forward to that as well. So, fellas, the most recent taste in our mouth is not a good one. Before we can get to that one, though, you do have to go back to last weekend and go to take the Indiana win after the win over Iowa last Thursday night. And before we get to that, actually, the question about is Sam's internet connection going to hold? As soon as he connects, he should be fine. His internet came back at like midnight or something last Thursday night. So we'll see how it goes. So, fellas, it's been three games since you guys have last been on. The Iowa win, the Ohio State win, and then, of course, the game from the other night. So two wins and then the loss. So, Craig, why don't we start with you, just your overall thoughts as the basketball team is heading into now the final two games of the regular season, two games against Michigan State. Yeah. We have, obviously, big game tonight, big game Sunday, but three games now under our belt since the last time we all talked.
Well, I thought the Iowa game was one of our better games. Michigan held Iowa to 57 points. That's pretty incredible because that's a really good offense. Juwan and his staff decided to play Garza straight up. They didn't double him except their game, and I think that might have been an accident. And Garza was terrible. I mean, he was, I think he had 16 points on 20 shot equivalents. Dickinson controlled him, and Dickinson was out of the game. I felt Austin Davis and Brandon Johnson also. I was surprised a bit that they didn't and double him some at all. It sure worked out in coaching. The most compelling part of this game to me, I don't know if I saw it, was Fran McCaffrey's post game. It was quite impressive. He comes in and he's asked the question, what led to your offensive dysfunction? His answer was, there wasn't. And the next question was, what did Wagner do? He drove the basket. And at that point, McCaffrey stands up and tries to get out of the press con. And his SID pulls him back down into the chair. He answers a question, his son's sprained ankle and poor Jack. And then a guy asks him, well, what did Michigan do on you defensively? And he goes, I already answered. He stands up and leaves. I thought, now there's a press call.
Yeah. Hey, look, I think what their meet for reference, ironically enough, is they had four assists in the game. Isn't that what Michigan wound up having against Illinois? Yeah, and that game is over. So it's, you saw a team's offensive flow, Iowa's offensive flow, be disrupted. Michigan wouldn't force their shooters to put it on the deck, and that's just not their game. I mean, they converted a few drives early in the game, but it was almost as if it was saying, yeah, you guys can't do that all game. You guys, there's no way. And if we can play Luka Garza man to man, which they obviously could, we can stuff you at every other position.
Yeah, and he did the same thing as Trace Jackson did. And so that's a total of eight buckets. I think four of those buckets. So absolutely dominated. And then you get to the Illinois game. I mean, Coburn isn't super efficient. People turn over. Hunter Dickens, the shots he's putting up aren't like shots where you're like, oh, he's difficult hooks. They're heavily contested. He's not able to post up and get good shots out of it. Illinois and Michigan into Iowa to Michigan. So they get a total of seven. I think they had 15 shots at the rim and 27. And so that's what Michigan does. If you look at Illinois' statistical profile, that's what they do. A lot of drop coverage, Coburn in there, difficult to attack if you're a guard and coming downhill. Michigan kind of found out that they have some to work on. Now, the first time this happened in Minnesota, resolved the formula.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, on the podcast. And Tim McCormick pointed out a lot of the same things you just did, Brian, namely the number of threes they weren't able to take. And they were clearly, in the case of Isaiah Liver, going to run him off the three-point line. And they have the length and athleticism. I mean, he's better putting it on the deck, but he's not, you know, he's not going to cross you up and wicked first step kind of guy. That's why I would like to, the next time, hopefully, because you talk about a delusional fan base. And that's what made this tougher to swallow, because those guys are who you had to lose it to. But I think Isaiah Livers has developed, whether you're dribbling into post looks or setting up on the block in a game where Hunter is facing the movable object, so to speak. You know, I think that's kind of a cancel out thing. I think Hunter did a great job when he wasn't in foul trouble. He did a great job on Kofi Coburn one-on-one, even if Kofi Coburn was doing the same thing to him. But they got nothing in the post at that point. I think that other than Austin Davis, but he came in for Hunter. I think that Isaiah exploit a matchup like that. That's something I like to see the next time they play.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Franz and this guy go at a guy like Coburn and drop cover. I think that, go back to the, a lot of Michigan shots were in this game, a half point per.
Yeah, they really disrupted Mike Smith. Disrupted Mike Smith.
And they were denying the perimeter. Like, their offense is all these beautiful action and shots. Illinois was denying so heavily, you know, by the time they were on the clock and you don't have time, you're kind of NBA mode, or you get an all shot clock.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, I went back and watched briefly last midnight, scanned through the tape, which wasn't much fun. And I was trying to find one good thing about this. And the only good thing I could find was, I think Hunter Dickinson's haircut is pretty good. I think I liked his haircut. Outside of that, I couldn't see a single thing. I mean, Brian's correct. We ended up playing one-on-one basketball, a lot of isolation, which is not Michigan. We got just a mile aside from anything else. I mean, I think they had 22 seconds. We couldn't finish at the rim. We had Hunter airballing, and maybe had two airballs. We airballed free throw. Our drop coverage was a debacle. They managed to get to the rim twice or three times off coverage. We got beat to the rim by their ball carriers at least a half, which has been rare this. You know, so I don't know. It's hard to look at this game and see anything about this team that looked anything like what's happened.
Well, I mean, I felt that the defense okay when Hunter Dickinson.
For the first 10 minutes, yeah, it was 10 to 10. 15,
and then 15. He goes out with, he had his second foul with like 5 minutes, starts to get in the first. But they get a couple buckets to start, and third foul on a loose ball foul away from the actual ball. What are we calling that for?
Especially given how the game was refereed. I mean, it was a functional wrestling match and all that.
So, I mean, they just put two on Coburn. The difference there is that Coburn's defending a post-up and moving up into the knocking of his shot. That's a foul. Boxing out Jordy Bishanish for a ball that's neither both, supposedly. Yeah. But anyway, so they're down eight. And then, you know, Davis comes in and they're down 20. Right. So to me, Dickinson is able to play 32 minutes in a 22 defense team. They're probably under that should be in any kind of. So I thought the defense is probably, you know, one off, the hit off shots, but the offense is especially with top lock.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. That one call by Carson, you know, did make a difference. Now, Illinois just killed us, so you can't look to call it. But it was a key. It's just a very frustrating game, and I'll probably try and watch the tape again.
Why?
And learn something. The one thing I did see is that later in the game, went to the old Judd Heathcote weave on the exterior, something that Michigan State has done for years and years, and they did get a couple of good looks at it. It sort of minimized Illinois' ability to cut off the wing pass, and when they went to that weave, I mean, they got some at least good looks, but the truth is that when I went back and watched, the Michigan was not getting good at all, and they forced a lot. The offense was sped up, it seemed, faster than what they were comfortable. I mean, you have to give Brad Underwood and Illinois credit. They really did a job, and I, in a way that I didn't think was very likely. So We'll see. I mean, Michigan State will, because my guess is they're not going to do what they're going to do variations.
Well, I mean, if they try to.
Well, you know what they're going to is what
they're going to hack them.
Yeah.
Coburn's 57%.
Well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to run four centers at Hunter and just brutalize. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to hope that the refs will, quote, want to even it out, and you'll see Hunter in foul trouble while he's just getting brutalized by four different guys. Because that's what MSU has been doing since, and they're playing better doing. They're just saying, go out there, just shove and push and hold and fouls will even out one way or another, and we'll just run another guy at. And since Lawyer's been hurt, they're a better team. That's just the fact. I mean, they're playing better basketball than they have been. This game tonight's not a sitter. Any stretch of time. I don't know how much you've watched MSU, but they are coming.
I mean, I hate how the ref thing has to be brought up, but like MSU has been playing to the whistle more than any other team this year, and like I don't know how to say it without sounding like a big Michigan homer. So the only game I can really talk about is Ohio State, right? Because if I think Ohio State didn't get a fair whistle in that game. That was not a fair whistle, right? So and State, that's kind of what they do. They just like they challenge you to call every single time, and eventually the refs are just gonna be like, I can't whistle it all the time. It's just be a whistle.
Yeah, I mean they did Indiana by 6, Indiana. So I don't feel that intimidated. Like.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean Michigan State hasn't had a great year. I mean, but you know the sort of big picture of the season is Michigan. I mean, when we talked before the season, I think all of us felt that Michigan was, I felt, and I think it was Michigan was going to be fighting for like number four, and that's 4 or 5. That's where we were. And I felt Illinois was by far the best, and that the only team that could compete with State. I admit that was, in retrospect, idiotic, I guess. But it seems right now at this time of the teams that are playing at this last week, at least the teams that seem to be playing closest to their ability are Illinois and State. Cause I think they're actually
Michigan State just lost to Maryland. Yeah.
I said closest.
Who just lost to Northwestern, by the way?
Closest. And they have been winning one.
You think they're playing closer to their ability?
Well, I wouldn't have
thought. He is way overrating one game.
Yeah.
He has the memory of a goldfish.
Man, you're one of those fans, Craig?
Come on, man.
I've been watching them the last month. In terms of what they have, which is no point guard and no center, they're playing, I think, the truth is, I think they're playing as close to their abilities as any.
Well, they have.
There you go, Sam Tom Izzo, coach of the year.
Yeah.
He's had to play Rocket Watts finally because they were pulling that guy. They never let him get comfortable. Like, if you want to run a clinic and how not to, like, you know, get your point guard to feel comfortable in the new system, is what he's done with Rocket Watts this year. And then he pulled him again from Maryland. He didn't let him start the Maryland game either. So, like, they've been starting A.J. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Hogard. Yeah, and they're starting Foster Lair over him. And then Izzo made a comment this week that he thinks Jack Hoiberg's going to have to play a lot this week. Like,
oh, nonsense. That's just pure Izzo.
We can hope.
It seemed like to me that biggest obstacle to Rocket Watts playing point guard, at least early, was Rocket Watts. He didn't want to play it.
Obviously, that program has had.
You know, Rocket Watts is doing Big Ten play?
Go ahead.
28%. Thank you, Craig.
I still think in the last month, or at least since in the first Indiana game. And remember, they did beat Illinois at home.
I know what you're doing. Ira is exactly right. Okay, I'm on with Craig. You are absolutely right. You could be talking about Tom Izzo as coach of the year. You are right. You are right. What Tom Izzo is accomplishing.
Heated.
He looked at it and he said, we don't have skill. Beat the hell out of teams.
This is big time athletics.
Bring out the football pads. Let's watch highlight videos of Israel Adesanya versus Jan Blachowicz. I don't even know who those guys are. I just know they're fighting UFC style. Let's do that on the basket. It worked against Illinois, right?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and that's what my point is, that this is a team that we thought, or at least I thought, was pretty good, and then just didn't evaluate the fact that they didn't have a point guard or center. And so they were terrible, and Izzo's playing And Izzo's doing this carousel, and the carousel gets worse and worse. And then all of a sudden he says, okay, we're just going to beat people up. And they've won, you know, four of their last five, including Ohio State and Illinois. And Maryland somehow just killed them. But they just been pulled up. And I'm guessing that's what we're going to tonight, too.
How does it go, Ira? Does it go, aha? I can't get that. Aha! Yeah, that one.
I don't know how you say they don't have a center when they have a guy in this who's a freshman who is ranked higher than Hunter Dickinson.
Well, okay, you know that of all of us in this particular group, I'm the one who impressed, and I've said it over and over and over and over, is that I'm not a believer. And if you want to look at, I actually went back and looked at their recruiting ratings. Eli, number 201. Mike Smith, not rated. Franz Wagner, 114. Leah Livers, 3. Austin Davis, 177. Brandon John, 70. And then they have two guys around 40, Sean D and Hunter D. That doesn't sound like, I mean, that sounds like every team. That sounds like Northwestern in terms of about what they get.
So Matty Sissoko, top 50 player in the country.
Yeah, exactly. And so.
All right. So Franz's composite is off. So that's one played in the United States. Definitely.
Hey, if my aunt has a trolley, I mean, I'm just talking about what the ratings were
I'm just making fun of Matty Sissoko. I don't know why
I'm recruiting. Okay. Listen, I am with on the given. Tom Izzo, I'm with you on that. But I'm struggling with your point about Michigan because I think Ryan is spot on. I think we are exaggerating to me. Not to say it's important. There aren't let me learn from Illinois, but you're making them be what they were in two losses opposed to what they were in 8 wins. Why are you overvaluing two losses, you know, undervaluing the 18 wins? I mean, you look at that game, but you just started out the segment talking about what a great job they did at Iowa. You know, a team who blew out Ohio State in them.
They did do a great job, especially given that Garza had really beaten up on them. What did he score, 75 or more against us? So, and that was against John Teske, who I thought was a pretty good center.
No. That's a backtrack. Okay. I remember you saying the best center in the basketball.
And I'll stay with that. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying this hasn't been phenomenal because I didn't think this team would be as good as it. I mean, and they've been phenomenal. The kids have been phenomenal. The coaching.
So what do you think is going to happen?
But the Illinois game is really bothersome. Not, I mean, if you're just losing games, I mean, missing shots, for example, I don't worry. But there was something about this game that really bothers, a sort of abject, I don't want to say ineptitude, but how terrible and how inert they were, even at finding. It's hard to put down. All right, you want a break?
All right, we'll get to a break. Yeah. Try to figure out this. Craig, you're an enigma, man. I sort of pick up what you're putting down most of the time, sort of, kind of. This time, you're losing me, dude. I think that this was a team that they did get punched in the mouth. They did not respond anywhere close to adequately enough. And I, for a team that has responded virtually every step this year, for it to happen in the sandwich game in 5 games in 9 days, to me, says a little something about legs finally catching up with them a little bit in ways that it caught up with other teams at other times this season. They're finally showing that they do have some human-like characteristics, human-like traits on the basketball court. In addition to giving Illinois credit, they had a great game plan. They executed it to a T. And I'm sure those guys will say they came in and punked Michigan. Give them credit. Hopefully you get them again. But this whole, you know, there's something to be concerned and worried about. How about we let them play another game before we break out the concern?
That's all fair and logical and rational. I mean, that's rational talk. I'm talking sort of the back of my hand or head or the front of my head or just looking at this tape last night. I said, holy cow, this is.
Ryan, didn't you talk to Craig? Don't you guys like talk during the week? Didn't give him.
No,
like
he won't talk to me.
A counseling session, Brian, before the round table? get him a point. This Craig is like, man, we're going to get to a break. Come back on the other side. We'll see who Craig actually picks in these state games coming up here.
We're going to kick their ass.
You got to get to a break. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider. Sports Talk 250 WTKA, the ticket. And we are back, folks. 50 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb,
And the MGO blog roundtable, we have Brian. We have Seth Fisher is back. And we have Craig Ross, who, like I said, he's a bit of an enigma. So on one hand, they're brilliant against Iowa. Just unbelievable performance. Right. They go and have a really good defensive effort at IU. But this Illinois game is just, I mean, it's a sign of the apocalypse as far as Michigan's postseason hopes are concerned. But they're going to kick the crap out of Michigan. I can't figure you out, Craig.
Because I can't figure myself out rationally.
If you're concerned about the physicality of Illinois, how are you not concerned about this ultimate fighting championship that's going to take place in the post tonight with how many posts? They got like six post guys.
Four.
They used six. Marble fouled out. I think Hauser fouled out.
Yeah, Marble fouled out, and he also busted up Io DeSumo's face.
Now, that was not. But he got thrown out of the game.
Yeah.
He did a hack of Kofi in that kind. Then there was another guy. Bingham had four. They're going to try to beat the crap out of Hunter Dickinson in this game. So if you are so worried about that matchup, Illinois, how come that doesn't hit you tonight against State?
Well, Illinois, Kofi, it doesn't exist in State. First of all, he's on a different team. And I am worried about it because how is the game going to be officiated? Who's going to call the game? And if they roll out John Higgins, you might as well, roll out the game. If they roll out, if the refs are, they pay attention to what State is doing, they're fine. But,
Michigan State didn't care about that. Underwood said they'd muck it up. They get game balls for
puppets. Yeah, I know, but Michigan can also shoot free throws, or they have over the course of the year. I don't know. I don't know. This is the reptilian part of my brain that was just bothered the Illinois game. Again, it isn't losing. The Minnesota game didn't bother. I just saw that as a perfect storm of crazy stuff, including Eli being out, including just not being able to shoot it, including Minnesota having an uncharacteristic game. None of it at the time, man. Michigan's still good. They'll roll. This one bothered. It bothered me because when I look back at it, I couldn't rationalize any particular way. So
I think that this is, you mentioned pick and roll, more two man game against Illinois. I would pick and roll the crap out of Hunter Dickinson. I think that all of their guys are most, like a lot of big guys, are most comfortable when they're defending and hacking in the post. Get them away from the basket. Hunter has good hands. He's a good finisher. Let's try to get him comfortable that way. Not to say that you avoid the post, but I think this is one. You're right. They don't have they got bodies, Greg. That's the thing, your earlier point about Tom Izzo. Yeah, he doesn't have a Kofi Coburn. He doesn't have a lot of skill. He got a lot of fouls.
He
rolls those guys out there in this war of attrition. I'm just going to pound on you with Marble. I'm going to pound on you with as much as Bingham can pound on you. I'm going to pound on you with really pound on you with Mati Sissoko. And can stand up. Illinois wasn't able to.
I really wish Michigan had a center who can can threes all the time. Like maybe, if they had Johns going at that spot right now or something like that, like it'd be really fun changeup to throw out there. Cause right now our backup is Austin Davis. You kind of saw in the Illinois game, you have an extended Austin Davis when he's got a bad matchup, or like against Michigan State, they're just going to foul him every time he gets down there. Right there. Hunter Dickinson's one thing. He's a 75% free throw. Austin Davis is not going to make his free throws. So, you don't have that answer if they start going hacking if you don't have Hunter Dickinson out there. I still can't get that worried about Michigan State. It's more kind of like, did Illinois expose something that a tournament team is going to knock Michigan out? And if they – I think Illinois kind of showed us a few ways that you can defend Michigan if you've got a center like Kofi, and not a lot of teams have that. So, I guess that, at least they kind of showed us our weakness, right? Like if we run into a team like that in the playoffs now, at least, we've seen it. Juwan's going to have something planned for, just like they had something planned after Minnesota, right? Like they're going to double Hunter Dickinson in the post. We're going to kick it right back outside. And then Michigan started raining threes for him.
Well, it sure will be interesting. I mean, I think that Michigan is certainly a better team than Michigan State. I can't see any reason why we won't win this game and win the Big Ten.
How about this question, guys? Let's say Michigan wins tonight. We all think they will. Do you play do you rest some guys for the Sunday matchup? What do you do Sunday?
I think that Thursday, one out of the
tournament. Right. Yeah, that's definitely incentive to go ahead and go out and play them. So we'll see how it goes this evening. Tournament hopes for Michigan State on the line, the candidacy. Tom Izzo's candidacy for Coach of the Year on the line as well. Really needs these to punctuate this outstanding effort that he's put forth. Guys, and have you give me your take? I think I know you guys' take on recruiting and recruiting pickups, but what's your take on Alan Bowman, this transfer quarterback from Texas Tech? I admit to thinking that they would obviously be in a portal, but I thought they would have to settle for a lesser guy than an Alan Bowman. I'm curious what you guys think.
I started watching the tape, and I, first of all, can't believe Texas Tech let this guy go. And second of all, can't believe that we got him. And third, most of all, I can't understand why Michigan fans are not more excited. Like, go watch the Texas game, man. Like, go watch the Oklahoma State game. Like, this, he's had 400-yard games where, like, he's just commanding the entire offense. Like, if they run ever, it's just a zone read or an RPO that he's running. So, I mean, I can't say that that's going to translate directly to Michigan, right? But the Big 12 has some pretty decent defenses who are used to, I wouldn't say great defense, but defenses that are used to dealing with the spread, right? And he's ripping them up.
The Big 12
so, has a yeah, solid, I mean, so you know, he makes weird decisions sometimes.
Who in the Big 12 has a solid defense? You got to, I mean, point them
no,
out.
No, that's not a defense. Interesting defenses where that'll show you a lot of looks and try to confuse reads is what I was trying to say. They try to make things harder on the quarterback. Anyone can run on the Big 12.
Craig?
Yeah, I watched some of the tape. I haven't watched as much as I will, but two things. One is he has a very strong arm, and he seems to be able to see the field. Those were my first two impressions, but I haven't watched whole game tape. Now, maybe you guys have. I've just been watching highlight stuff where you obviously never have an incomplete pass. But to me, he looks pretty good. Yeah, and certainly, I mean, a couple things are obvious. One, Michigan had to be, you can't go through a season with three quarterbacks and one, Dan Vallari, we don't know.
Hey, they would have beaten Ohio State with Dan Vallari. Don't tell me that.
Yeah. And so they had to get a quarterback. And I'm with you, Sam. I think this was better than I ever could have imagined, truly, from what I've seen of him. So he's started, I believe, 19. So you're getting a guy who started 19, has had some reasonable. And I think he might be a good fit with Harbaugh. I mean, I think this might be the kind of quarterback that Harbaugh is more comfortable with than a guy, because he's not going to run the ball. You're not running read options. Maybe this is, you know, a perfect fit.
My biggest criticism of his game, and I have watched, I've watched two, 1.5 games so far of his that I've been charting. And my biggest criticism is that he really likes to release the dragon, which I don't know if that's like Texas Tech's offense. It's just like, okay, you know, every fifth throw has to be downfield. But, you know, he's way better when he's just working in the offense and he's working underneath.
Can we get Nico Collins back next year?
Yeah.
that sounds pretty good. Put him on like 19.
Yeah. I mean, one of the weird things that the weird fits with Michigan is if he sees a receiver with two steps or even one step on his cornerback, he's going to launch it. And Michigan's got some fast receivers, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see whether we can bring those down or not. But he's going to try to hit his guys deep when it's not even the best read. There are a few touchdowns he missed because he didn't check out the backside or go down to his third read. Because as soon as he sees that, he goes. But that's it's a double-edged sword. He fits the balls into you're going to love the – who was the Wisconsin guy we call old tight windows?
Hornibrook.
Yeah. Reminds me a little bit of Hornibrook where he's like, okay, there's three linebackers there, but he's facing the wrong way, so I'm going to throw it. And it works out a lot.
Yeah. So the other side of this coin, though, is the guy's been beat up in his career. I mean, you look at his list of injuries, it's like, woo. I mean, you got to admire his toughness. There is that. So for folks who haven't followed him, and Zach Shaw wrote about this, so he's in a game. I can't remember if it was Illinois or Texas. I can't remember the team. Or maybe it was West Virginia, where he takes a hit. They break his rib and collapse his lung. And then he comes back less than a month later. He scrambles and recollapses. So then he's out for the season. Then he comes back the next year, wins the job with a new coach, and three games in, he breaks his collarbone. And he comes back. I guess he starts for most of the season, battled nagging injuries last year. That's the thing with him, is a question of durability. The Texas Tech people say he's not the same guy he was pre-injury. Now, you know, time will tell on that, I suppose. But it says something to me that he looked at, and even if you look past Cade McNamara, who has one start and what, like 400 yards under his belt, and you say, I can beat that guy. Everyone is saying J.J. McCarthy's here, right? And he chose to come to Michigan anyway. It just says something to me about the kid.
J.J. Well, McCarthy's a freshman.
Nobody's going to be scared away by a freshman.
You saw the last two guys from IMG.
I hear you, but this is a guy with 3 years of eligibility. He's not coming in just talking about, you know, I'm trying to see if I can get the job this year. Ideally, you know, you finish out your career here, right? You know, there's going to be a lot of talk, you know, I won't say push, but there's going to be some J.J. McCarthy in the atmosphere. At the very least, he looked past that and said, I'm going to go there. I'm going to not only beat that guy, I'm going to keep him on the bench for the next three.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, right?
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
It's a good thing because he feels he can do that. And it's a good thing because Michigan now has some depth at a quarterback when they had none. So some depth.
Yeah, you can't go to Dan Villari or the Ohio State. Somebody with this guy probably. I mean, that's a new guy. If you get. In a new city, he's coming passer friendly, uninst, but also had some limitations.
Yeah, I agree. Cade McNamara is in the clubhouse. Make no mistake. He has the advantage of knowledge of the system, knowledge of the personnel. And it's not going to be this cinch of a thing. But if he's right, he's healthy. And if he's a quick study, bunch of ifs, you can have worse on the bench. I'll just put it that way. If he can be here when he was at Texas Tech, I think that's an upgrade over that's more than I thought they could have gotten on the portal. I thought they would be getting a guy who was unquestionably, this is pure backup guy. This guy, if he's right, it's a big, I think he is a potential if he's right. And I don't know that.
Well, I agree. I mean, it isn't clear right now, right this moment, who's going to be the starter or the finisher for Michigan football. I mean, J.J. McCarthy, we all are believers in, but he's a freshman. McNamara had one pretty good game, then got injured, but there's not much of a track record there. And so now you've got Alan Bowman, and yeah, I mean, he could theoretically be the starter in one or 10.
All right, so I'm going to challenge you guys in the last 5 minutes. We got to split this in half. I need a quick hockey assessment from Brian Cook. You know, they're talking to Mel. Mel said he's a little concerned about the conditioning of the team coming off of the pause. He feels like they are on the way back.
They outshoot Arizona State. Some state gets one. They're playing much better than.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan is plus 40 goals. I think that's not quite as good as Minnesota, but right with Wisconsin. And so, as Brian said, I think last week, 2 weeks ago, they've had a lot of randomness bite them. And on Friday night, they completely outskated Arizona State. They probably should have won by 8. They won 4-1, and the goal was a ridiculous deflection off of Arizona guy's head to go into the net, head or chest.
And yeah, then, kind of the chest. He was kind of skating in.
Okay. And then Friday night, it was, I think, 43-13 with the shots on goal. And I thought Michigan was alternatively a little impatient and a little too patient. But outside of that, it was a complete Michigan completely outskated them. And just one of those things. And then again, the Arizona State goal, a double deflection, I think, that went in. So I'm not worried. I mean, they need to win a game against Minnesota this weekend, and they'll be in the NCAAs and probably get a reasonable. They're 13-8-1.
Did Arizona State take a shot after they got up, after they scored their goal?
Yeah,
because they got to 1-1. They're like taking it. Like Michigan scored like right after they did. And then Arizona State is like 1-1. Good. Let's just keep it like this.
Yeah, they only actually had, I think, two shots in the first goal and three in the third. And I don't know if they had one in the three-on-three looked more like the ice capades with people just sort of skating around. But the they did. I mean, basically, they were content to. I mean, after getting the first time in Ann Arbor, I think they were very content. But I think Michigan hockey is improving. I think They have a good.
So here's the good news. Oh, sorry to interrupt there. Here's the good news. The Minnesota series is going to be on Fox and not on.
Oh yeah, big PTN.
So we can not actually watch it.
Did anybody try to watch Softball Network Plus?
It was impossible to watch, Craig.
Impossible to watch.
It's like seizure inducing.
Yeah, I know. I would get dizzy. I mean, you needed to have an air sickness bag to watch it, because as soon as the ball was hit, the camera started going all over the place. You had no idea what happened. It was truly.
As on the way out, Seth, why don't you tell the people about the roast of John U. Bacon?
Come by on Saturday night. It's going to be at 8:30. You got to get your tickets online. The website is right there. You just go to MGO blog. It should be right in the top. Check our lineup, because we've been adding a whole bunch of cool comedians. Jeff Ross has offered to kind of join us and be the roast master here. So it's going to be pretty good. Aside from my jokes, which are kind of meh. But
Jeff Ross knows Bacon.
Huh?
I didn't know Jeff Ross knows.
He doesn't.
He doesn't. No. But he's seen a picture. That was enough.
He's like, why are you handing me this white piece of paper?
I gotcha. All right, so folks, that's for that.
Better than us!